Hi, welcome to the use case realization call for November 12th. Today we have the NN Network Slicing team. We have upcoming next week the CPS team, and its API, notably its API and CPS concepts, which if you've attended previous CPS overview calls, this is something new, so you want to attend that. We have in cup coming in December, PM software upgrade that will be given by Zoo and on CMPV2. So no further ado, let me turn it over to Swami here.
Hi, Ben.
Yeah, hi.
I will take the first part. Can you let me share my screen?
Oh, yeah, sorry. yes.
Yeah, I'm late. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ben, there is one point I wanted to just mention. In the ONAP, the meetings calendar, right, Ben? I saw that the bridge was still the old one, Ben. While
oh, okay.
The invite that you share, right, that is the correct one. But maybe in the
okay.
meetings also you should update it.
Yes, okay, right. in the calendar?
In the calendar.
I see, okay.
Can you see my screen?
Okay,
then I will start. And in this presentation, we will cover what we have done for grading release and also our future picture for Honolulu release and the release afterwards. So for the overall concept, this is actually not new stuff. I will briefly introduce that. So actually in this use case, we try to implement the 3GPP defined slice management functions, which are the communication service management function, the CSMF, which provide the to get the customer related requirement and then transfer that into the network slice related requirement. And the next layer is the network slice management function, the NSMF, and the third layer is the network slice subnet management function layer, and it will be implemented in the three domains, which are the RAN, the transport domain, and the core domain. So from the architecture perspective, we in overall provide will provide this five different choices. In this picture, you can see that our final goal is to implement the CSMF. The CSMF and NSMF and NSSMF within ONAP, and also to provide the flexible interaction with the external CSMF, NSMF, and NSSMF. So the operators actually can deploy the slice management function based on their interest in the real deployment scenario. So this is what we have realized since the Frankfurt release. And so overall, we have implement the fourth choice by implementing the basic function of CSMF and SMF with the ONAP, and also to interact with the external RAN and SSMF and the external core and SSMF by using the standard and interfaces. And in Guilin release, we also evolve the three domain NSSMF implementation with the ONAP, and we have implemented basic slice management function, a slice subnet management function with the ONAP for these three domains. And later we will provide more details about what we have done in Guilin release. So this picture is from the NSI lifecycle view, what we would like to involve for the E2E network slicing use case. And for what we have done in Guilin release, we have made some enhancement for our modeling work in the preparation phase, and also to introduce the enhancement based on what we have done in Frankfurt for the commissioning phase, and also the decommissioning phase by involving the three domains related actions. And our focus for Honolulu release will also try to continue the enhancement work of the Guilin release, and to focus on the some closed loop actions and the modification, the slice modification, and also the KPI monitoring related work. So next I will briefly talk about our Guilin requirement summaries. So actually we have seven tracks in Guilin release, and the first one is to implement the run NSSMF, the transport NSSMF, and the core NSSMF with the ONAP. And this is what we have done. So we have provided the basic logic of all the three NSSMFs to support the NSSI allocation, activation, deactivation, deletion, and the modification. And this also need some enhancement in NSMF, which we provided the service profile decomposition into the slice profiles. We also do some NSI selection enhancement and by involving the three domains, we can provide the E2E slice creation. And actually, the integration test is going on now. We may not be able to finish all this stuffs, the testing stuffs in Guilin release, and we will continue what we haven't done in the next release. And from NSMF perspective, we also provide a generic NSSMF adapter to interact with the internal or the external NSSMF by aligning with the relevant standard interfaces. For the RAN and the core part, we take reference of the 3GPP standard, and for the transport interface, we refer to the IETF intent-based interfaces. And to support the three domains and SSMF, the related slice subnet, we also make some enhancement work of our modeling in which we provide the NSST design and the related slice profiles. And we also provide some RAN and CN NF simulators, the RAN NF simulator actually was provided since Frankfurt release, and they made some enhancement to support the PM data reporting and the CU and near RIC time RIC configuration. And for the CNNF simulator, we developed this to support the configuration of the slice SSAI, and also to support the PM data reporting. For the KPI monitoring function, actually we provide the main architecture of the KPI computation logics actually is matured, but we're just not sure where to put it, whether to keep it as a separate microservice or to let it be in the PM mapper. So this work is still hang on, and we will continue with the final solution in the Honolulu release. And we also provide a DAS microservice, which is used for the unified data exposure from the data lake in this release. And for the closed loop and intelligent slicing, in Guilin release, we only provide a RAN scenario closed loop to simply show these functions by reconfiguring the RAN configure parameters per slice based on the PM data analysis. We also provide a new slice analysis microservice in Guilin release. And also we provide, we onboarded the offline training machine learning models into DCAE to support the intelligent closed loop scenario.
So for the KPI monitoring, those are basically performance measurements that are coming up, slice related performance measurements that are coming up from a RAN element, right? Like a DU that, and is that right?
Actually, the KPI computation is not only for the domain-specific level, but also from the E2E level. So it collects the raw PM data from the RAN domain and the core domain, and then it will compute the relevant KPIs based on the request. It could be an NSSI level KPIs, which may only belong to only one domain, like the RAN part. Mm-hmm. It can also be an NSI level KPI, which we need to calculate the data from both domains.
And is the KPI, are those coming from the standards, or are they?
Yes, we take reference to, I recall that it is 28544.
Oh, 554.
Oh, 554. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we take reference to the 3GPP defined APIs in that documentation.
And
yeah,
are they...
1.1, yeah, sorry, Ben, no, one other point is, yeah, while we started off with the 3GPP defined KPIs, the intention behind this whole KPI computation logic and the DES, right, is suppose an operator or a service provider wants to define their own KPIs, right, maybe at a much more granular level.
Yeah,
or
I was just about to get to that.
Yeah, so something that's not defined in the standards, the mechanism is implemented in a generic way so that to extend it to new KPIs, right? It should not be that difficult because we are looking at having the formulas coming via policy and the data items to be collected as well. So as long as the PM data, the raw PM data that you need for that KPI is coming from the network functions, it shouldn't be a problem.
I see. Okay, because I think probably lots of vendors do have their own like proprietary KPIs. Yeah. So, and
yeah.
Also, the DES DCAE data extraction service. That's what Swami was talking about. Maybe using the framework for CPS, the Configuration Persistence Service, I think, and that's not implemented right in R7. That's something in R8. Is that right?
You mean no, the data lake related
exposure? Yeah, the DES.
It's
implemented in it's done in Gwilin then.
So. Oh, okay. I didn't. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, It was started from actually Frankfurt release, but it was formally accepted in Gwilin release.
Ah, okay.
So this. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay. Okay. Thanks. Cause Swami had brought this to our attention in the CPS team and maybe some of the concepts you might be able to use in CPS. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually the data.
Can invite. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Actually the data lake structure, mainly include three parts. One is the admin UI in which you can configure what kind of data you would like to extract from the database. And we also have a data lake handler, which is used to store the data into the external database. And the DAS is used to provide a unified exposure window to expose the data from the what we stored in the data lake to ONAP to any consumer with the ONAP. So that's the main structure of the data lake.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, Swami and Lynn, I have a quick question. able to hear me okay? You know, from end-to-end slice modeling standpoint, you know, from SDC down all the way to all the domains, how much you kind of conform to kind of standard specifications and where, you know, maybe a lot of customization was required, maybe because of ONAP or standards just didn't exist? If you can make a general comment, yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah. So what we have done, I think it is Sandeep, right? Your voice is a little unrecognizable. Yeah. So Sandeep, so what we have done is at least for the slice instance, service profile, slice profile, right? So for those kind of things which are present in the NRM, right? The 28.541 of 3GPP. So we have based ourselves on that, Sandeep. However, I wouldn't say that we are 100% compliant there. Maybe we would have taken a fair subset of that. Maybe from a modeling perspective, it might be maybe, I don't know, 95% compliant. But in terms of the real functionality, right, I would say that we have attained a subset of that. But the intention is that we align with what is given in the 3GPP specs wherever possible. Both for the flows, for example, for allocate of NSI, right? The procedures that is outlined in 28.531. So that we are pretty much closely aligning. The only challenge is for the transport where we are aligning because 3GPP does not give anything really with respect to the details for the transport subnet. So there we are we're basing ourselves on the IETF, the transport slice connectivity interface, right? The TSCI model on IMO. That's what we are basing ourselves on.
From the top down, right, from SDC level, in all the customer-related slice profiles or specific service related slice profiles. I guess they also align with any 3GPP or any other standards that are there.
See, the top level, if you see, right, the communication service, so that we are pretty much using the ONAP service constructs, Sandeep. But in terms of the API, right, so if I have to give a service request, that is something that is to the northbound of CSMF. So there we have already started the work to align with TMF. So the TMF 641 API. So that work has partially been completed, and we will be continuing it as we go forward.
Okay. Thank you, Swami. Thank you, Lynn.
Also, just a quick question. You're simulating some values being sent up for the performance measurements. Just you're sort of sending up data from a simulator. Is that right?
Yeah, Ben. So we had, if you remember the SOM use case, right? We had this RAN simulator, right? So what we did was we enhanced that RAN simulator to be able to send the performance data for the slices also.
I see. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, and also for the core part, the simulated data is also aligned with what the 3GPP defined.
Yeah, the format and the layout.
So just sorry, we went through sort of quickly the slide on slide 4 or 5, where you have basically these external CSMFs that are coming from third party components. these are outside of ONAP, right? That these third party components, is that right?
Yes.
And
go ahead.
And so you're providing APIs essentially to interface with those third party components so that they can interface with ONAP, is that right?
To support, we need to interact with, we have the need to interact with both the external NSSMF and the internal NSSMFs. And to support this, we provide a NSSMF adapter within NSMF. Later, you can say, not here. I think we didn't provide the detailed picture here, but actually in the NSMF layer, we provide an NSSMF adapter, which can provide the unified interface to interact with both the external NSSMF and the internal NSSMF. For example,
I see.
Example, for the RAN part, and the adapter southbound could interact with both the internal and the external RAN and SSMF.
So this is all essentially NSO. So to the rest of ONAP, it's transparent. They don't see that third party thing, right? It looks like it's just within, right?
Ben. So when we are looking at maybe you can go to that architecture picture, maybe slide 4.
Okay.
So if you see here, Ben, so we are currently supporting the option 1 and option 4, which means we have not yet reached a stage where ONAP will directly connect to an external CSMF using a standard API.
So
we are still aligning, though in concept wise, we are all using the 3GPP like APIs, like for example, allocate NSI, but to be truly, interoperable, right, with an external CSMF, I think we should have like a, 100% alignment or near 100% alignment through to the 3GPP API, right? So in fact, right now it's more of an internal call that we are supporting because of the simple reason that CSMF and NSMF are both currently within ONAP. But But the intention here is eventually we should be able to talk to also an external CSMF. When we are able to talk to an external CSMF northbound using the TMF API.
I see. Okay, thanks.
Okay, I'm sorry. I think I misunderstood your question. I thought you were asking the NSSMF side. Okay, then I will continue with this slide. So this is an overview of the impacted component, and the red icon is what we have done in Guilin release, and the orange is partially done, which we will continue in Honolulu release, and the black one is what we haven't done, and also leaves that for Honolulu release. And in the code impact are in UI, which we provide some to support the endpoint information in RAN domain and core domain, which will be transferred to the TNSSMF. And in external API, we implement the slice instantiation by referencing the TMF standard APIs. And in SO, in CSMF, we didn't make much change in Guilin release. Our main work is in the enhancement of NSMF to support the NSI selection, the service profile decomposition, and also to provide the unified NSSMF adapter to interact with the NSSMF. And also we provide the basic logic for the NSSMF for the respective domains within SO. And in OF, there's also the code change, which are used to support the slice profile determination, the NST selection, and also some enhancement in the NSI selection and the support of the NSSI selection. And also we need the related policy to support the OF actions. And in SDNC, the main change is to support the RAN-specific configuration within the RAN NSS for the RAN NSSMF function, and also the transport-specific configuration for the transport NSSMF. And in CDS,
so just a quick question, and Scott Blanford might know, is there? There was, I'm all confused now. There was, I think, a number of different controllers all based on CCSDK. And are those all getting merged together now? There was SDNR and all these things and AppC.
Yeah, and... AppC is kind of going away, and that's all getting merged into CCSDK, SDNC kind of things. Okay. The controller story, obviously, is a tough one. SDNR is an offshoot of SDNC.
Right. And that still exists, or is that going away?
What's that?
Is that still exists, or is that going away too?
SDNR?
SDNR, yeah.
Yeah, no, there's, as far as I know, there's no plan to get rid of that. CCSDK is basically a library.
Yes.
In which you can build different controller personas.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And SDNC is one of those. SDNR is another. I know we've got a dozen of them almost within AT&T that all spun off that CCSDK library of things.
But in the actual ONAP architecture, I think Chalker shows, I mean, I think we're just trying to, there was talk about kind of making that a little bit more streamlined. So it's, it wasn't, yeah. People were confused.
So I don't know what Shocker has done, you know, but from what I know, SDNR is not going away. It is, in fact, it's sort of an offshoot of SDNC.
Okay.
So it's not even its own persona. It's just sort of.
I mean, the architecture diagram is still showing SDNC, APSI, and VFC as three different controllers. And
they are, yeah.
Okay.
They still are. APSI will eventually go away because all of its capabilities are being put into SDNC.
Okay, got it.
If you look at CDS, the CC, common controller, SDK, CCSDK, that Dan Timoney is responsible for, from his perspective, he's only releasing the CCSDK, and every incarnation or every version, if you will, or every flavor of what, of let's say, the app controller or what we used to call SDNR, is basically a different configuration of the CCSDK instance. CDS is a configurator, right? Think of CDS as the configurator and CCSDK is the actual controller code. The different flavors are not based on different base software. The base software is the same. It's the way you configure the software to get a different persona.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Okay.
Okay. And in CDS, we just provide a first try to configure the core and NFs by configuring the slice SNS's AI parameter. And in DCAE, we provide two new microservices in Guilin release, which are the data lake data exposure service and the analysis microservice. And in the configure DB, we make some try in the cell configuration and the run slice related configuration. And we also developed the external run NSSMF simulator in this release, and this one for the CN, external CN NSSMF simulator, it was developed in Frankfurt release. And also to make some enhancement for the RAN of the RAN simulator, and also to develop some basic function of the core NF simulator. So this basically what we have done in Guilin release. And I will skip page 11 and page 12 as...
just a quick question on 10. Why are there three different shades of blue? What is that? Does that mean anything?
Okay. So the dark blue refers to the functions and the related functions with in each modules of the CSMF function. Actually, the dark blue refers to CSMF related function. And this blue is the NSMF related function.
I see.
This is, yeah.
Okay, I got it, thanks.
Okay. Actually, page 11 and page 12, I've already introduced that in page 10. I will, a brief recap of this page. So in overall, the for providing the E2E slice solution from the NSMF perspective, we support to invoke the RAN core and the transport and SSMF for the respective NSSI allocation, activation, modification, and deactivation and termination. So these functions are now implemented, finished the implement of within the three domains, but still need some enhancement in the next releases. And to support this, we also provide the unified SSMF adapter to enable the interaction between the NSMF and the NSSMFs by providing the standard API alignment for the NSSI allocation, modification, and deallocation. And we also provide support the interface to report the subnet capabilities for the NSI and NSSI selection within the NSSMF adapter. And this is a brief introduction of our Honolulu proposal. So the first one is to continue the enhancement in the E2E slice allocation, and also to focus on the three subnet stitching, as you know, for the endpoint information that are used to actually connect the RAN with TN and connect the core with TN. We need to find out a more matured solution to implement that. And in the UUI, it also needs some support for the endpoint information part, and also to align with the 3GPP APIs and some modeling enhancement to support that. And also from the SMF perspective, it also needs the domain to spur to report the capability, the capacity, and the resource levels, which will be used for the NSI and NSSI selection. And also, as we've implemented the three domain NSSMF with the ONAP, we also need the NSSMF portal in the future. Another requirement is to support more complicated and the more complicated slice selection by taking into account the capacity and the resource on occupancy levels. And another requirement is to align with TMF 641 APIs to support for the slice lifecycle operations, lifecycle management operations. And we also have started the discussion with the external API team to explore the KPI monitoring related APIs from the external API perspective by referencing the TMF 628. So that's but this is not the final our final scope. It's still under discussion, as some of the details and the resource commitment haven't been finalized. I believe the remaining part to Swami.
Hey, Lynn, before you hand over to Swami, I have a question. If you go back to the previous slide,
which page?
If you back to previous slide, my understand, 12, just the previous slide. Yeah, this okay. one, yeah. My understanding, we do also support the NSI modification, or because here you are mentioning the NSSI modification, I mean, with respect to activation, deactivation. Yeah.
Actually, in this release, we didn't provide the E2E NSI modification. It's only within each domain. Yeah, we only provide the NSSI modification.
Yeah, because I was checking SO code and then the workflows, I couldn't see that.
Yeah,
NSI is not supported. No.
The NSI modification is not in Gwilin. Okay.
Yeah.
Not in Gwilin. At NSSI modification also, Kamal, it's more towards the going when you reuse an existing NSSI, right?
Yeah.
So you want to attach a new slice profile, or you want to stitch a new NSI using an existing NSSI, right? So only those kind of modifications, Kamal. Not really in a sense wherein you are kind of modifying the characteristics or whatever, right? So those advanced level of modifications are not yet supported.
Okay. Yeah, because I haven't seen also the allocate NSI, I mean, interaction between the, I have seen the allocate and deallocate NSSI, I mean, which I was mapping it to 30GPP specs, was aligned, but I haven't seen the allocate NSI API.
Yeah, that's because the CSMF and NSMF are within ONAP, right? So that's our presumption, Kamal. Whereas NSSMF, like Lynch pointed out before, right? We should be able to contact both an internal NSSMF as well as an NSSMF that is sitting outside ONAP, Kamal. So that's why you would see that the NSSMF APIs would be aligned to the standards, whereas the NSMF northbound API, right? So though the contents would be aligned to 3GPP, but it will not. You will not find an explicit mapping to the allocate NSI API.
Okay, because my understanding was that when you consider everything is within an ONAP, that's why I didn't see this the allocate NSI request API request. The format or the request body is aligned with 3GPP. Maybe that's the reason. When you have everything within ONAP, it's not really aligned to that 3GPP. Yeah.
Yeah, you know that. Yeah, like I said, right. For example, you will pass the service profile. So the service profile is aligned to the 3GPP, but in terms of API itself, because our architecture assumption is both CSMF and NSMF are within ONAP, right? So as of now, it's that complete exposure to an external entity is not supported. It will be maybe in the future releases, maybe after Honolulu.
Okay. Yeah, so I mean, just maybe we can take it offline next calls. I just raised a concern to ANAI team. I mean, when it comes to the schema related to the slicing part, there are some parameters with respect to service profile and slice profile are not really aligned with 3GPP, like for instance, SST parameter, which is mandatory. I couldn't see that there. Maybe, I don't know, it's just as a starting point to go to the full alignment, or there was a missing. So I raised this to Bill, and maybe you can take it together in next calls.
Yeah, sure, Kamal. We also have a weekly modeling call for our use case, Kamal. Maybe you can join. I will forward you the invitation, Kamal.
Yeah. Thank you.
Where is your base? Are you in North America? Or
I'm based in Canada, but it's yesterday time. Okay. Yeah.
If so, the time might be too early for you.
So we'll have to figure something out, Lynn.
It might be
a little early for him. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, we can talk offline if needed.
Yeah.
We can change the time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, Swami and Lynn, a question regarding the inventory. What assumptions are you making regarding the RAN, core, and transport inventories? like, for example, just give you an example. If I were to bring a new base station online, how would I account for the additional resources that would have been added and therefore could impact the slicing configuration or profile?
Right, Shankar. So in terms of the actual resource impact, right? So that we have not yet gone into details. However, it will have an implication at least in one sense. For example, the tracking area to maybe a cell mapping, right? So those configuration would be impacted. But those kind of configurations we are not maintaining in the ANDI, but it is present in ConfigDB right now. Eventually, our intention is to move it to CPS.
Okay.
So, I mean, to explain it in another sense, right? So we are limiting as of now from an ANDI standpoint to only the network function level and its associated, maybe the compute or whatever the resources, right? But the real typical radio related things, so that we are not as of now looking at ANDI, but more towards CPS. So to make it work right now, we have it in ConfigDB.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, then I will stop sharing. Swami, you can continue, but I think we
have only 10 minutes, yeah. Maybe I'll just go through it quickly, yeah, no problem, yeah.
Okay.
Let me share my screen quickly. Yeah, so I'll just try to summarize the, I think there are still maybe some 20 odd slides, but anyway, we'll share the slides also offline. But the essence of what we are trying to capture here is what Lynn outlined in terms of the overall scope, the various tracks. I think the top level, the end-to-end slice part, she covered. Now, if you look at the RAN and the transport, right? So obviously, because of this disaggregated RAN, some of the aspects of the RAN also has, an interaction, or they should work closely together because of the front haul and the mid haul, which is going to be considered to be part of the transport network. So given that context, so there are two options that we foresaw, at least from among the community members, right? We saw that there are two possible deployment options to be supported. One is where the RAN in its whole, right, it's going to be controlled by the RAN NSSMF. And the RAN NSSMF will in turn call the transport NSSMF for the front haul and the mid haul NSSI allocation at the NSSI management operations. So in a sense, what we are saying is the RAN is composed of RAN network functions plus the front haul plus the mid haul from a management perspective. This is the first option. And the second option is the RAN NSSMF is pretty much restricted in scope, looking at only the RAN network function and the related RAN resources aspects only. And the NSMF will be responsible for stitching the end-to-end slice together. Anyway, going to do. And as part of this end-to-end slice stitching, it is also going to be responsible for getting the support or triggering the transport NSSMF for the front haul and the mid haul. Which option is preferred, which is the right one or wrong one, right? At least we don't seem to have any answer concrete either way, because while one option is being preferred in ORAN, the other option seems to be preferred by some companies wherein typically the transport is typically managed by a separate department, right? For example, from an operation standpoint also. So in those cases, it's maybe more convenient for the NSMF to directly interact with the transport NSSMF rather than go via the RAN NSSMF. So in essence, what we have concluded from our use case standpoint for ONAP is that ONAP solution shall support both options in a configurable manner. The only thing is, in any given deployment, it will support only one option and not both. So that's the premise that we started off with, the RAN and the transport implementation of the NSSMFs. And in the RAN slicing part, what we did at a high level, if you see for Gwilin, right, we assumed that the RAN network functions are already pre-created. So for example, the CUs and all, right, the DU is also a VNF. So it's already instantiated and all the initial configuration is done. And if it's a PNF, it's onboarded and all, again, the initial configuration is all done. So at the time of slice creation, so when a new RAN network slice subnet instance is being created, it is only about configuring the slice specific aspects, maybe including some of the resource related aspects, the RRM policy for that particular NSSAI and so on. So those are the only actions that we will be doing. Obviously, prior to that, we will also be performing the action of selecting a suitable RAN NSSI. So we will see whether there is already an existing RAN NSSI that can be reused, provided it is shareable. And if it is not shareable, we will go ahead and create a new RAN NSSI. And as part of the creation process, we will be doing the configuration update of the RAN network functions. So this is the basic thing that we have realized for the RAN slicing and also for the closed loop, which we will also look at maybe a little later if there is time. We are also having some closed loop scenarios involving the RAN where some PM data is being reported from the RAN. And we then inform the near real time RIC of the configuration updates to be done to the RAN network functions. So here again, we are using only the O1 interface or the netconf based interface. We are not yet using the A1 interface. So that will be a work for the Honolulu release. And if you look at from the Honolulu proposal, right, for the RAN slicing, one of the things that we want to do is we want to get rid of that assumption of the pre-created RAN network functions. We also want to instantiate the RAN network functions as part of the slice creation workflows. I mean, workflows in the sense, not from an SO perspective, but from an end-to-end perspective. And also from the near real-time RIC point of view, we need to break down or we need to decompose the RAN slice profile into its, further down so that it can be then consumed by the near real-time RIC. So this is another thing that we want to support. And then the enhancements to the closed loop and the intelligent slicing associated reconfiguration actions. So these are the high priority items. And for the RAN slicing, we are in close contact with the ORAN Alliance folks also in terms of the interfaces and in terms of the use cases or scenarios and as well as the priorities. So we have a call every Thursday for the RAN slicing together with ORAN folks to align the priorities and the focus areas. For the core slicing, if you look at, we had created we covered basically two scenarios. One is where you have where the core NSSMF is getting the request from the end-to-end NSMF and creating a new core NSSI. So in this case, the external API will be invoked by the core NSSMF with the to call the macro workflow that is already existing. And once the macro workflow is called from the external API with an SO, then the creation, the core NSSI is going to be composed of a core service. Again, we have started off with a very simple core service with a few with a minimal set of core network functions. And then the instantiation, the configuration is going to happen. The other cases where we want to reuse an existing core NSSM, core NSSI. So in this case, it's only a reconfiguration of the core NFs that have already been instantiated. And here, as far as the reconfiguration is concerned, we are only looking at the SNSSAI to be updated. So the further updates to the configuration of the core, right, that's going to be part of the Honolulu. So enhance the configuration of the core network functions beyond the basic aspect of the NSSAI. And we, if possible, we also want to look at the core network function placement because in a real network, depending on the slice type and the characteristics or the service profile, right, also the network function placement in the core is also quite important, whether it's going to be some of it is going to be the edge or it's going to be in a regional data center, right? So those aspects, if possible, we will be taking it up for the Honolulu release. And there we want to reuse or make use of whatever is already existing in OOF and maybe make some minimal enhancements. For the transport slicing is a little different as compared to the other two subnets because of the, 3GPP does not get into the details of the transport related aspects. So here we are pretty much aligning ourselves based on the IETF draft for the network slicing, the TSCI model as we call it. So based on that, the information model also is aligned to that. And we have implemented a TN network slice subnet management function within ONAP, which will then talk to the different domain controllers in principle. Right now, we have started off with an optical domain controller so that we can extend the CCVPN use case functionality to be able to also support the network's slicing. And going forward, what we also want to do is we want to further enhance the transport slicing solution because right now in Guilin, if you see, we always create a new transport network slice subnet instance. We are not able to reuse the existing one. So that is something that we want to support going forward. And we also want to align with, there is also some updates to the TSCI draft. So we also want to update it, align with the latest and the updated version. And also support the multi-point to multi-point connections. And apart from that, there is also some recent work on 3GPP. Since June, if you see, there is also the definition of endpoints that has been provided by 3GPP. So we want to align with that as well, which is also specified in the NRM. So we will be aligning to that aspect as well in the Honolulu release. So maybe I'll not go through the details here. And with respect to the KPI monitoring, so some of the functions that Lynn was talking about, right? Some of the things we have already implemented. That is, for example, to request a KPI to be reported from the UUI. And then we call the DES microservice, which will then dip into the data lake and then provide back the KPI. So this functionality is provided. However, the PM mapper functionality, right? The PM mapper microservice, which was being enhanced to do the KPI computation, that is still not fully completed. So we want to finish that work and we also maybe will take it up again with the DCIE team, whether that KPI computation logic should be hosted within PM mapper microservice or should it be a standalone microservice. So this discussion also, we will restart for the Honolulu release and we hope to complete the implementation for the KPI computation. And for the northbound interface to get the KPI, right? So we have started the discussion with the external API team to be aligned with the updated TMF 628. So the TMF 628 also is undergoing some updates. So Adrian, the external API PD, right? So he's in contact with the concerned folks. And our goal is at least to do the alignment. And maybe the implementation at this stage, we are not sure whether it will be completed in Honolulu release because it will also depend on the timing or by when the API, updated API will be available. But anyway, we want to start that work and if possible, do it in Honolulu timeframe. If not, then continue it beyond Honolulu. So for the closed loop, I think we have almost run out of time. So the closed loop and the intelligent slicing, I think Lynn already talked at a high level. It's primarily focusing on the RAN NSSIs, where we just based on a simple set of performance data. In the first scenario, a closed loop is being triggered by the slice analysis microservice. In the second case, an offline trained ML model is used to trigger the slice analysis microservice with the recommendations. And then the similar closed loop concept follows. So we have onboarded this machine learning model as a microservice just for POC purpose onto DCIE. It's not actually part of the ONAP official repos. And for the Honolulu, we want to continue the work with respect to closed loop, where we will be aligned with ORAN also. We will also collaborate with them closely. And we also want to take the next step, that is not just look at the RAN domain, but maybe look at also the core and the RAN together, so that if there is something that we can do at an NSI level, right, that is something that we want to aim for. So this is in summary, the Honolulu, whatever we have been discussing so far. And I'll just leave this slide and maybe I think if there are any last minute questions, we can take it.
Hey, Swami, one question. If you back to the slide number 20, quickly, that flow diagram, yeah, is working for both. My understanding is working for option two, where all NSS, CSMF, NSMF, NSSMFs within ONAP, right? Or is working for both options? So diagram is when
so
you consider
this diagram. So So here, what you are doing is we are making the call to the core NSSMF, right? So this first step number five, Kamal, is a standard API. So it's the allocate NSSI API, right? From
Facebook. Yes, that's standard.
So this is okay. So this from this point of view. Even if, for example, I put this core NSSMF outside ONAP, right? It should not be a problem.
Okay. Okay.
Just a quick question.
Here is the challenge that you are talking about, right? Here is this APIs is the one where we have not yet looked at like CSMF taken outside ONAP. So that is the thing that we have to look at maybe beyond Honolulu.
Just a quick question. The 3GPP release 17 is coming out in next year. Is that going to impact anything you're doing? Do you know?
Good question, Ben. So in fact, what we were thinking, at least for the Honolulu, we should make any updates based on the September-October updates on the release 16 version, Ben, least for Honolulu.
Makes sense.
Beyond that, we should move to probably 17.
Hey, Swami, one last question. If you look at Fred's proposal in the service modeling when it comes to from end-to-end slicing the design or modeling, will this impact our work we are doing in end-to-end use case or?
We have a lot of alignment, Kamal. So though there are some points which need to be ironed out, so because, for example, we are not in favor of having NSSIs per region he was having, right? So I think that becomes a little cumbersome to manage. So those kind of things we have to still work it out. But from a overall or a high level concept, if you look, right, I don't think there is an issue there. Yeah. But when you get into the details, I think there are some differences, so which we have to work and sort it out.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you, Swami and Ling. This is really, these are always super useful. So again, for those of you who might have missed, next week, Tony Toy and myself will be giving an overview of CPS, the new component that's in ONAP. Toyin has been working on some CPS concepts and the team has been working on, API. We do have upcoming presentations from Zhu on a PNF software upgrade and Powell on CMPV2, Certificate Management Protocol. We're also merging the 5G the 5G team calls with the use case realization. So the third Thursday of each month, we'll be dedicating to 5G stuff. And we also have the intent-based networking stuff coming up as well in January. Okay, thank you everybody for attending. Sorry I ran over a little bit, and I'll let you get on to your next calls. Thanks, have a good day.
Yeah, thank you, Ben. Thank you.
Bye.